Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday at 10 a.m. during the summer months. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. In today's sermon titled, Teach Us to Pray, our guest minister, Reverend Bonnie Davis, tells us that prayer is a gift, and there are many ways to pray. Prayers can be as formal as the Lord's Prayer, or as simple as a conversation with God. Due to illness, Reverend Bonnie Davis could not be with us. Her message is presented by our worship and arts elder.
Please be seated. Please join with me in the prayer of confession as printed in your bulletin. Lord God, we confess that too often we fail to hear what you speak. Even when our ears hear, our hearts fail to respond. We are distracted and worried. We are tempted by shortcuts, easy answers, and mind and soul numbing substances and entertainments. We lack both the patience to wait and the courage to speak. We squander our gifts and misuse our time. We are easily angered, proud, and self-righteous. We realize that our choices are not working for us, Lord. We have wandered from you and from your path. Forgive us and restore to a relationship with you and with those from whom we are alienated. Hear us now as we offer our silent prayers of confession. Amen. God hears our prayers. God hears our confessions. We are heard. We are known and our hearts are known. God forgives our sins and restores us to life through God's steadfast love, grace, and mercy.
We are heard. We are known and our hearts are known. The peace of God is ours to accept and cherish.
We lift our hearts in deep gratitude for this new beginning. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Our gospel reading will be from Luke 11, verses 1 to 13, which can be found on page 78 in the New Testament. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us into the time of trial. And he said to them, Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, Do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Teach us to pray. In our gospel passage this morning, these are the words spoken to Jesus by one of his disciples. Teach us to pray. These are words from the men who spent most time with Jesus. I think I've always prayed. I was taught prayers from a very young age. Probably the earliest prayer I recited was a simple nursery rhyme, which I've come to understand as prayer. I see the moon, and the moon sees me. God bless the moon, and God bless me. That is prayer. That is petitioning God for blessing, for the moon and for ourselves. It acknowledges God as having power to bless and caring about both the moon and me. My mother taught me that nursery rhyme, prayer, and all of my other memorized prayers, I think. The prayer Jesus taught his disciples when one of them asked him to is much different from that prayer, but not much more complicated. In our text today in Luke, Jesus responds to his disciples' request by saying, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." Matthew 6, verses 9 to 12 records the same prayer, but it is a slightly longer version. It begins with "Our Father in heaven," rather than simply "Father," as the prayer here in Luke does. In Matthew, the passage, "Your will be done on earth as in heaven," is included, but it's not in Luke. Roberta Bondi is an emeritus professor of church history at Candler School of Theology at Emory University in Atlanta. She's also the author of many books on prayer and the early Christian church. In her book, A Place to Pray, Reflections on the Lord's Prayer, she writes that it is her contention that Christians are called to love God and our neighbors as ourselves, and that the Lord's Prayer, prayed honestly from the places in which we really are, is a basic tool to help us do it. All of us know this prayer well, so well that at times it becomes so routine we don't even think about the words we are praying. The words may sometimes come automatically, with no heart or mind connection, simply repeated out of root memory. One way to get beyond this is to pray each phrase or petition separately, pausing after each to meditate on that phrase or petition, sitting quietly with that phrase before God opens to us new understandings and insights into ourselves, God, and others, and inspires deeper, more honest praying. You might want to pray the whole prayer through, then pray one phrase meditatively each day if you don't have time to linger over each phrase. This is a daily prayer, so if you don't already pray it daily, I think you will find it helpful to do that. I returned home Friday evening from 2.5 weeks in Memphis visiting my dad. This is Bonnie saying this, not me. During that time, my mother's family gathered for a 4-day family reunion in Memphis. There were, in all, about 60 of us. The oldest is 78, and youngest is 1 month. My mother was the last of her siblings to die in 2011. My dad, at 91, was included in the gathering because no one there could ever remember a time when my parents weren't married. My dad is now and has long been family to my mother's family. The last day of the reunion, last Sunday, we had a family worship service outdoors. My oldest cousin, the 78-year-old, conducted the service and spoke briefly. She had asked me to offer communion. When Sarah Ann began, she noted that our family comes from a long and strong Christian tradition. She and I had talked about that beforehand. While that is true, that my mother's family has a long and strong Christian tradition, what is also true is that today, some of us, maybe more than admit it openly, question that faith. Some question any faith. Some are sincerely seeking a way into a Christian faith that they feel rejects them or is too narrow in its expression. Our family has become more diverse. Everyone is no longer Protestant, much less United Methodist, the tradition I and all of my first cousins were brought up in. I went into the communion service already thinking about this sermon today, reading and thinking about Jesus' words at his Last Supper with his disciples, and about my own extended family, and about all of us and the church. At our communion service last Sunday, I used a yellow solo cup. We had been drinking from both red and yellow all week with our names written on them in permanent marker to keep usage to a minimum. I used a paper plate and a paper napkin. I bought and used muscadine grape juice from a local farmer's market and a small wheat baguette from a local grocer. I could have used hush puppies from the night we had a catfish dinner. We used what was common to us as Jesus used what was common to him and to his disciples. When we were gathered for communion last Sunday, we prayed the Lord's Prayer. As I considered our extended, expanding, and increasingly diverse family and the many uncertainties some of us have, I realized that Jesus' prayer is a universal prayer. It is, I think, a prayer a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Muslim, a Jew, or a Christian, whether Catholic or Protestant, can pray. It is a prayer that unites all of us and calls all of us into recognition of a God by whatever name we seek God, and into recognition that each of us must pray for each other as well as for ourselves. It is a plural prayer. Jesus began his prayer not with the words of the Jewish tradition or the language used in the Jewish or any other tradition for God's name. He began with the relational name, Father. A close relationship in healthy families, but we have to remember that not all families are healthy. In families where the father is punishing or harsh or demanding, where he is abusive either verbally or physically, or where a father is absent, it may be hard for some to pray, Father. Some father relationships have caused lasting harm and pain for children, but in a healthy father-child relationship, this is a relationship that to a child and even to an adult implies respect. Respect for a parent's role, whether mother or father, in the family and for the authority of both parents regardless of gender. In a healthy family, fathers and mothers take care of their children. They provide for their needs, they love them and listen to them and delight in them, watching and loving them as they grow, just as God does. Jesus could have easily begun this prayer with mother, but he grew up and lived in a paternal society and environment. Ironically, in the last century, children born to couples of different religions are now considered Jewish if their mother is Jewish, not their father. Bondi writes that the word father was for many years an obstacle for her in this prayer. She writes in her book on the Lord's Prayer that her own father was a perfectionist. He told her she was special. He expected her to be special, to understand herself as set apart from her peers. She confesses that she was not special or set apart, but was shy and unpopular and had a miserable childhood and adolescence. Her father left the family when she was 11, but her father's teachings lasted, as did memories of unpredictable outbursts of anger and hurtful words directed toward Bondi and her mother. Bondi believed for many years that God was father to those who were perfect and set apart, and she knew she wasn't. She was left out, ashamed, and still shy and unpopular. Rejected by her peers, and after her father left the family, rejected by her own father, and therefore, in her mind, rejected by God. She wanted to pray, tried to pray, and finally began this prayer with mother and friend when she could not get beyond her own image of the father who had power over his wife and children and always made them feel inferior. She writes that she thinks God doesn't care what name we call God by. I agree entirely. This is the calling that I believe God hears and responds to, not the name we call God by. My grandchildren call me Bibi, a name one of our daughters-in-law gave me when she first married our son. One of our grandsons called me Bubba before he could say Bibi. I joyfully responded to Bubba and love that name. I suspect God in the same way. God knows when it is God we are calling and looking for, just as I know my grandchildren are calling me, even though they may not quite be able to articulate the name. It doesn't matter. I know who they are calling. I love them. I know their vulnerabilities and neediness, and I respond. God is the same way, but infinitely more loving, patient, forgiving, seeking us out, delighting in us, just like a father, just like a mother, just like a grandma or grandfather. Luke omits the word "our" from "our Father" in this prayer and only prays "Father." But the words that follow are plural. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. Do not bring us to the time of trial. That the Father we pray to is our Father, not my Father, is understood in the rest of the language of this prayer. All of us are in this together. The Father that created all of us loves and cares for and provides for all of us. Reaches out to all of us is the hallowed, holy, set apart, and sacred Holy Creator, Father. Abba, as Jesus' Aramaic language called him, hallowed, holy, set apart. This is the mother, father, friend we pray to. No ordinary father, mother, or friend. No ordinary neighbor or good citizen. This is Father, hallowed be your name. Bondi has written about the words, "Your kingdom come," that the kingdom is an infinitely desirable gift God will give in the future and is already giving us as a gift in the present. She goes on to say that the promise of the kingdom is God's promise that everything that appears to be irrevocably broken will be made whole, every wounded heart healed, every tear wiped from every eye. She quotes from Julian of Norwich, the medieval English mystic who said, "It is God's promise that ultimately all shall be well and all manner of things shall be well." Give us each day our daily bread. Jesus taught us to pray. In praying this, we're not only asking this of God, but we are being reminded of our prayer that God is the creator and the giver of all good things. We are reminded when we pray this prayer that every day, everything we need is supplied by God. To people who are hungry, this is literally a prayer for physical nourishment that day. God may not rain manna down on the streets of Washington, D.C., but God may touch hearts so that they provide for that day's nourishment for those with no money, no food, no shelter. To those who have food and aren't worried about the next meal, for ourselves or for our families, this is a prayer for the bread that we need to sustain us emotionally, mentally, spiritually through this day. It is a prayer that we be provided with the nourishment to meet the challenges of each day in a spirit that honors God and what God asks of us, who God calls us to be. Our reliance is not on artificial sources of supply, but on God for authentic supply. For strength to withstand the tough spots each day, for wisdom to give us the answers when knowledge without wisdom may be pushing us to the wrong answers. For patience, when the questions we have answered 1,000 times are asked again. For love that meets and surpasses every obstacle and every question. For peace, when we lie down at night to sleep. Give us each day, O Lord, our daily bread. Give us what we need to get through this day. Jesus taught us to ask for what we believe we need, Bondi reminds us. Our daily bread, she says, is different for different people. And even different for the same people at different times. It can also be many things at once, and doesn't even need to be spelled out, since God knows what it is we need. Our spelling it out may be more for ourselves, so that we admit that we have needs, and we can't fulfill without God's help. Bonnie confesses that she has prayed, "My God, anxieties over what might happen a year from now are overwhelming me. Help me remember that I actually face the future best when I can let go of my desire to control what I cannot control so that I can respond appropriately to what actually might happen. For this reason, I ask you now only for our daily bread, for the basic necessities for thriving today. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us." These are the words of Luke as translated into our New Revised Standard Version editions of the Bible. Receiving God's forgiveness includes our readiness to forgive others, but some hurts are too deep and too painful to forgive. It is necessary for a wife to accept an abusive husband's apology time after time and to say, "I forgive you and it's all right," when it quite clearly isn't. Bondi points out that there are two necessary elements to forgiveness. The first is that we give up the notion of revenge, we turn the other cheek. The second is that we come to desire the well-being of the one who injured us. We pray for those who persecute us. Neither of these is easy, but forgiveness isn't easy. And it is not necessary or okay to say, I forgive you, or it's all right when it's not. Only those two elements give up the notion of revenge and pray for those who persecute us. Bondi says she was helped greatly in forgiving others by using the Our Father address used in Matthew in our liturgical prayers. When one of her best friends deeply wounded her, she did not want to forgive her. She found herself holding on to the betrayal of her friend as a reason not to forgive. But praying the Lord's Prayer every day, Bondi one day began her prayer with the words, Our Father, my Father, and the Father of Mary Ann. In these words, Bondi found deep healing. The words that end the Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of Luke are, and do not bring us to the time of trial, or the time of testing or temptation. The Greek word used can be translated trial, testing, or temptation. One problem many of us have with this petition is the idea of God bringing us or leading us into trial, testing, or temptation. The ancient desert fathers and mothers of the early church believed that God did not bring us temptation. They believed that the origins of our temptation are rarely external to us. They are temptations only because they already have a home in us. It is not the temptations that are bad, it is our engaging in them when we don't resist. Teaching us to pray, the disciple asked Jesus. Jesus gave his followers the Lord's Prayer with the expectation that they would pray it, Bondi states. He gave it not as a command, pray this way or else, but according to Luke, he gave it as a gift. He gave it when asked by his disciples to teach them to pray. Beyond the prayer, Jesus taught his disciples and us. Jesus tells us to ask, to search, or seek, to knock. He assures us that when we ask, it will be given. When we search, we will find. When we knock, the door will be opened for us. My prayers have changed over the years, as I'm sure yours have. The first time I remember banging on God's door over and over again, like the man in our passage this morning who wanted to borrow bread for a midnight visitor, I was in my mid-30s. Our oldest child, a son, was 6 years old and played on a soccer team. His coach was a friend of ours. All of us knew and liked the coach's whole family. His son was the same age as our son. They were friends. This coach, who was our age, was, out of the blue, diagnosed with a recurrence of pancreatic cancer. We didn't know he had had this cancer before. The whole thing was a nightmare. The coach didn't want people to know. He told my husband because my husband was an assistant coach and would need to take over. But the coach stressed that he didn't want anyone to know about the cancer, only Hal, my husband, who told me. It was evening when the call came. That night I couldn't sleep. I kept thinking of the coach and his family. I began praying. I prayed relentlessly. I was banging at God's door all night long, repeating the same phrases over and over. And all night long I felt like I was on a phone call. But the strangest thing was that I felt like someone was on the other end of the line. All night long, I had the sense that the line was open and someone was listening. At that time in my life, my prayers were pretty perfunctory, pretty routine and superficial. I routinely went through the words of prayers, but we had 3 young children. Our 6-year-old was the oldest. That night, my praying was different. That night I prayed earnestly, with passion, and with a full expectation that God would hear me, even before I sensed that my praying was like being on a phone call with someone on the other end. All night long, since then, there have been many other times when I have prayed devoutly and earnestly, but until then, I think I hadn't. That was my first door-banging prayer. Be persistent, Jesus says. Don't stop. Ask, search, knock. Pray in this way, Jesus said. Among us and for our daily needs to be met, which is how we know God's ways are among us, forgive ourselves and other, and ask for the strength to resist the temptations that can tug us away from all of this. Simple, but never rote. And then there's a quote by Kayla McClurg. saying, "Prayer is no magic potion, a dab of this and a pinch of that, accomplished in 5 easy steps. Prayer, Jesus says, is relationship. Prayer is persistence. Prayer is pestering God at midnight. Pester God to forgive. Pester God to give us what we truly need. Pester God to show up in our lives in ways that help us to show up too. Don't just stand at the abyss and never make a beginning. Get up and go to the source and keep on asking, keep on looking, keep on knocking, keep on." Amen. Go out into the world in peace to love and serve the Lord and love and serve the people. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen. Thank you.